good evening. How is everybody? Amen. God is good. Amen. Amen. Let's open with a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to be here. Leah, would you open our time in prayer, please?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to come into your house and to learn your word. Lord, I pray that you'll bless your word tonight. Father, I pray that you'll anoint our pastor as he brings it forth. Lord, anoint our ears that we'll not only be hearers but doers of your word also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen and amen. All right. Yes. You need one?
I gave one to Xiao Yang.
I stole one from him.
Or you gave it to Xiao Yang. All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
What page are we on?
We're on page 15. Have you been able to answer the questions?
No.
Is there a specific response you would like to make to Ephesians 1, 3 through 14? Does anyone want to make a specific response to that? I'm taking suggestions. Nobody wants to make a specific response? Oh, my soul and body. Oh, nobody did the homework. I'm not wasting my time, am I? Amen. All right, so you can do that. Why do you think Paul put praise first in this letter? Someone help me with that. Why do you think Paul put praise first in this letter? What in the world? Why would he in the world do that? Well, a better question. Is praise important?
Yes.
How important is it?
We should always praise first.
Yeah. Yes.
Before we go any further, I was going to ask this question at the end. Emily and I were having this discussion today.
Yeah.
What exactly is praise? And we came up with some ideas.
Okay, what ideas did you come up with?
Well, to tell back to God his attributes, goodness, grace, mercy, so on and so on, creation, things like that. But we were left like, are we right? I mean, is there more to it? Are we
getting of course it? There is.
That's why I'm asking. Like,
because
what
do you do? What do you do? What was Emily involved with in high school?
Cheerleading.
Okay. Let's say her team goes to the New York State Championships for cheerleading.
They did.
They did.
And they won.
And they won. Wow. What did you say to her when she got home?
Good job.
Is that praise?
That's kind of what I said to her.
Exactly right. So praising God, I'm getting warm. Praising God is telling him how great he is. Okay? Is thankfulness praise?
Yes.
Then if thankfulness is praise, then telling God that I'm thankful to him for what he's done for me would then also be praise. Remembering what he's done. A key example is Jehoshaphat's prayer. I love Jehoshaphat's prayer in 2 Chronicles 20. Because Jehoshaphat doesn't talk anything about the problem he's in till at the end of the prayer.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, he starts out, and I do the P's. He starts out talking about, I'm trying to remember. I don't have my Bible up here. But he starts out and talks about God's performance, God's power. The first thing he talks about is God's power, and that's praise. Does God need to be reminded by us of who he is or what he's able to do?
We do.
No, but we do. Amen, Joel. We do. Okay? How many times do we talk to ourselves about certain things that we already know, but we are reminding ourselves about those things.
Every single morning.
Yeah.
Day, all day.
Yeah, see? And that's the same with praise. So he talked about his power first. There's nobody that's ever been able to stand before you. You are omnipotent. Then he talks about his performance. Whenever there was a battle, you always won. And that's me reminding God of what he's done for me. And that's praise. Does God know what he's done for me? Of course he does. Does God need to be reminded? No, he doesn't. But then he says that we are to remind him. So if he commands us to remind him, then I best remind him. Right? Why don't I know everything about why God tells me to do something? Why? Why doesn't God share with you and I everything he wants us to know about anything?
It would be too much.
Yes, what would happen to us? We'd go crazy. We'd go nuts. Mainly because we do not... I wanted that door propped open. Who unpropped that door?
I did.
Will somebody go... Let's see, Peter, go prop it open. Now, when I leave a door propped open, it's because I want it propped open.
I was getting in that thing, and I had that
The inside door?
The outside door I want propped open. Oh, the inside door I don't care about. Somebody shut the outside door. And I want it propped open. Because I want people to know that we're in session. And make it easy to come in. Easy, yes.
My fault.
You did it. Somebody did it Sunday too.
Open it and prop it open myself to get everything in.
Yeah.
And then when I was done, I closed it.
Yeah. And then I like it propped open when the weather's not bad, because it airs out the entryway, and it airs out the foyer. Yeah, but that's no problem. If you close it, I'll just prop it open again. That's all. So if God shared with me why he wants me to pray with him, praise him, I am not qualified. I don't have the security clearance, to make it put in our words, to understand what he's saying. I can't comprehend it. So when God knows that we don't have the mental capacity to know something, he just simply doesn't tell us. And it becomes a difficult thing serving God for a lot of us, because we want to know why we have to serve God. What's the first question that the news media will ask when there's any kind of a catastrophe?
Yeah, why?
Why? And we're the same with God. Why should I, just like Peter and Emily discussing it, why should I praise God? Well, number one, he told me to. Number two, I need it. I need to be constantly reminding myself of who God is. And this early church needed it really bad. Why?
Persecuted.
They were being persecuted. So what's the best way for me to deal with my difficulties and my problems? The best way to deal with them is how?
Focus on God.
Huh?
You focus on God.
Yeah. And reminding myself of what God has done with me, for me, and to me, is focusing on him, but it builds my faith. If he did it then, he can do it now. It helps get my eyes off my circumstances and get them on him. Because he never changes. My circumstances change. But he never changes. So Jehoshaphat focused on God's performance. And then the third thing he focused on was God's promises. Oh yeah, by the way, Lord, this is what you said. If I turn my face towards Jerusalem and cry out to you, you will come and deliver me. That's what he said. So he talked about his power. He talked about his performance, and then he talked about the promise. And then he said, oh yes, Lord, I'm all done, but just in passing. We got the problem out here with these three nations, four nations, and we'd like you to take care of that. Thank you, Lord. And that's it. And what did God do? He took care of it. They were 3 days collecting the spoil. 3 days collecting the spoil. That's a lot of collection. See? And so Paul starts out with praise because he knows, first of all, that the Ephesians needed that. Rome wasn't being kind to them. And they needed to praise the Lord, to focus their mind on God. Perspective is so vitally important. And I don't know about you, but we struggle a lot of time keeping our perspective aimed in the right direction. Keeping our eyesight on the right stuff. I don't know about you, but how many get upset when you're going down the interstate at 75 miles an hour, everything is great, and all of a sudden the traffic comes to almost a stop, and you go for the next 25, 30 miles, and it's stop and go traffic just to find out that there was an accident on the other side of the road, and everybody wanted to investigate it, even though they have no qualifications to be able to investigate it. Right? They didn't drive correctly because they were focused on the wrong thing. Right? And how many times do we get all messed up in our Christian walk because we focus on the wrong thing? We get sick and we focus on how we feel instead of what God says about sickness. Now, it may not change the way I feel, but it will sure give me a different attitude about how I feel. If you've ever practiced that. Have you ever been in a difficult situation and you put on some great worship music and all of a sudden you find that your whole atmosphere has changed? Nothing.
Spirit takes over.
Yeah, nothing changed about your circumstances. Nothing changed about the bills you had to pay or how you felt. It's happened to me 1,000 times. Going down the road in the car and I'll put on Christian music and boy does it make me feel better. See, so he starts out with praise. What else will praise do? Change my perspective, certainly. What else will it do? Help me focus on God. What else will it do?
Comfort.
Huh?
Brings me comfort.
Yes. Yeah. Peace. Yeah, when you know God's in control, it changes how you view your circumstances. And it can bring peace. Have you ever met somebody that had a small problem and they talked about it so much it became a big problem? I've met a lot of people like that. Have you ever met somebody that they have a bigger problem than anybody on the face of this earth? Yeah. And then you meet somebody else and they give you their history and it's far worse than this person over here, but they have a total positive attitude about it because they've decided to put it behind them and to focus on the future while this person is focused on the past. Yeah. And there's nobody on planet Earth that's ever been able to drive their car looking through the rearview mirror. Right? Go down the interstate the next time at 70 miles an hour, right out here on 90, and look in your rearview mirror. Don't look through the windshield at all. Just look in the rearview mirror.
Good luck with that.
Huh?
Good luck with that.
What's going to happen?
You see the Red Sox there.
That's okay. Someone told me the other day, he says, what about those Knicks? I said, yeah, well, the Celtics had a team meeting and they decided, we've got 18 championships. They've only got 2. We might as well have mercy on them. Give them a chance because they never get a chance. They didn't have a chance last year. They didn't have a chance before. They didn't have a chance before that. So give them a chance, poor people. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The person who has the recurring problem.
What's that?
I like the person who has the recurring problem.
Yeah.
Can't figure out why it keeps coming back.
Well, why does it keep coming back?
Because Because they haven't figured out how to get past it.
You never get past something until you're able to overcome it. You see, what they don't understand is God's purpose in the way he has us do what he has us do. What's his purpose? Let's just review that. What's God's purpose in saving us?
To make us more like Jesus.
Make us like Jesus. What else? That's a good one. What else?
To fellowship with him.
Fellowship with him. That's good. That's the second. What's the third?
Get us ready for heaven.
Yes, take us to heaven. Get us ready, but ultimately get us there, right? Three important purposes, okay? How does he accomplish that?
Sanctifying us,
but what is sanctification? It's what we said it is, but what? How does he do it?
Overcoming trials and tribulations.
Through trials and tribulations. Through testing. I would never know, I know it sounds real superfluous, I would never know God could heal if I was never sick. I would never know God could supply financially if I never had a financial need. Why is it so hard to lead a millionaire to Jesus? Because they solve everything by throwing money at it. Nothing's difficult for them. And so they don't figure, they figure that they don't need Jesus when they do. See? We aren't millionaires, so we need him. Well, I would never understand that God's able to solve difficulties in relationships if I never had difficulties in relationships. Right? Testing makes me stronger. Does it not? Yeah. And it teaches me how to overcome. Someone said about overcoming. It teaches me how to overcome. Right? I learned to ride the bicycle. Did anybody ever fall when you were learning to ride the bicycle? Yeah. How about roller skating? That's a better one.
It's backwards.
Yeah. You can roller skate backwards?
Can't. Yeah. I can roller skate forward.
Yeah, but did you ever fall learning to roller skate? Anybody ever not fall learning to roller skate? That might be a better one. Okay? How did you learn? You learn from the fall. The fall tells me what not to do. Right? Huh?
Yeah.
Don't put the skates on in the first place. That's my motto now, because I don't heal so good. So that's my motto now. Mike gave me a set of ice skates. I've never put them on. And guess what? I'm never going to put them on. Because back when I was a teenager and I skated, learned to ice skate, and people made fun of me because I fell more than I were up on the skates, but I did learn, I healed a lot easier. And things were a lot easier. But now it's not going to work. So we learned stuff. Jonathan, my son, decided when he was crawling to go up the steps in the parsonage in Bucksport. And they were carpeted, nice thick carpet on them. And the door to the outside was at the bottom of the steps. And he goes up and gets up at the top and loses his balance and boom, 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 boom. Comes down head over heel, boom, 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 and splat right up against the door. I rush over to see what's happening and he's looking at the door going, eh! Turned around and went back up the stairs. Didn't fall again. Why did he not fall the second time? He learned what not to do in the first fall. See? A positive attitude will help you. He says, praise the Lord, because that's going to help you learn to praise the Lord. That's another thing about praise. The more we praise him, the more we learn to praise him. What else? The more we praise him, the more what?
He responds to us.
He responds to us, and what else? The more we find out how easy it is and what the results are. If I never praise him, I'll never know the results. Right? Right? My brother and sister, we had brains and eggs for breakfast and they would not eat them. So they, my brother went to his grave, and my sister to this day doesn't know how good brains and eggs are. They are, it's wonderful.
I'll take your word for it.
See? Have you ever had it, Caroline?
Nope.
Okay, so you don't know. See?
Brains from what?
From cow brains. But they use pig brains too, but we had cow brains. What was great about cow brains is they were inexpensive. And they were very good for you, and they were very, very, very good. Kidney pie. Anybody had kidney pie?
Not on purpose.
Huh? Has anybody here ever had kidney pie? It is. You have?
Yeah.
It is wonderful. I love it.
My grandma was from the South, remember?
Yeah. Well, this was from England, an Englishman. And the crust is around on those cake dishes, you know, those Pyrex cake dishes that have the sides this high. Are they called anything special?
Yeah.
They're like this. They're rectangular. And they're about that high.
Yeah.
They would put the pie crust, a regular pie crust, all the way around it, and then put the kidneys in there with water and onions and garlic and all kinds of good stuff, and then put pie crust on top of it and then bake it in the oven. And then we pull that out, put a bed of rice on your on your plate, and then load that up on top of it. It was to die for.
Just think of this. What are the kidneys used for?
Huh?
Yeah. The kidneys are used to filter out stuff.
So is liver. So is liver, but liver's great for you. Liver's great for you. See? So I figure if I ate brains enough, I'd get smart. It didn't work, did it? But anyway. But you see, we do this all the time in life, and when we do it spiritually, it becomes a death wish for us. If we decide that since we haven't praised Him, we're not going to praise Him because we don't think it's going to work, how many times will we not do something because we think it won't work? And then we do it, and it works, and we're surprised. Right? And so that's why he emphasized it here. He says praise is going to be important. Very, very important. Where am I? Right there I am. Okay, so you can write down some more stuff. Do you ever find it difficult to praise God in prayer or in church or in daily living? Especially for more than a minute at a time? If so, why do you think that's the case?
Attitude.
Yes. Yeah, perspective, what we're concentrating on. Yeah, what else?
The pain is so bad.
Yeah, what else?
You get distracted.
Yeah, what else? Embarrassed?
Embarrassed to praise?
Yeah, in church? Out loud?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Make a spectacle of ourselves?
No.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I loved it when I went to the Baptist churches in Carmelo because I never praised the Lord. In Lutaraco, you were expected to praise the Lord. If you didn't, out loud. Yeah. Yeah. We went to a church and a wonderful couple. They were from El Salvador. And my kids were with us. We were attending it when we were home on furlough. And this elderly couple, they would sing, and they had a beautiful voice. And they could harmonize wonderful. But when they started feeling the presence of the Holy Ghost, they would go, S, 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 S. And so, and of course, you know what my teenage kids are going to do, right? Right? And they weren't one bit embarrassed. They weren't one bit embarrassed because they were shut in with God, doing their thing, right? And we come to the house of God and we are so conscientious of how we might look and what people might think of us. My father was a riot because Sunday morning, you got to understand, the temperature is 100, 105, and it's about 100, 105 in the sanctuary. Our roof was real high, and we had fans going down the middle, and he sits up on the platform in a nice, big, comfortable chair, and he sits down, and he goes sound asleep. sound asleep. And then he'd wake up, and when he'd wake up, he'd go, "Glory to God!" And in English, at the worst time, taking up prayer requests. Brother so-and-so is deathly sick. "Glory to God!" You know. And he was never embarrassed about it. Never embarrassed about it. And I think that's probably the major reason why there's very little demonstration of the gifts of the Spirit in our Pentecostal churches today. Is because people are too embarrassed. What if I'm wrong? So what? Someone said to me in Bucksport. They said to me, "Pastor, but if I give a message in tongues or interpretation or a word of prophecy or go pray for somebody, what if I'm wrong?" I said, "You don't have to worry about that. I'll take care of that. That's what I'm here for. I can deal with the wildfire. It's when you don't have any fire at all that makes it real tough." And we are so tuned in this day and age, more than ever before in our history, in how we look. And what are people going to say? Right? What are people going to say?
How we're perceived.
Yeah, how we're perceived. But we know what people are thinking about us, even though we can't read their thoughts. That always blows my mind. Well, they won't like me. Really now? How do you know? You got inside their mind? Right? Or they'll think I'm stupid. Really? Really? No, they're not thinking you're stupid. You're thinking you're stupid. Right? When we try to decide what other people are going to say. Now, if they say something, then we know. No big deal. But that's when it's important that it goes right over our head. "But you don't understand, Pastor. Words hurt." Yeah, if you take them to heart, they do. If you ignore them, they don't. Right? You've watched people ignore what people say. It doesn't bother them at all. I'm bothering at all. So we are created in the image of God, and we were created to have fellowship with God. What in the world are the angels and the cherubims and the seraphims and the elders and everybody doing in heaven when we see them? What are they doing? They're praising God. Right? And what are they saying? The Bible says some of them what they're saying. What are they saying? "Holy, holy, holy are you, O God." Right? "Worthy is the Lamb." Right? It tells us what they're saying. Right? And when you go through the Psalms and you go through the Old Testament and you go through Moses' praise and you go through Miriam's praise and you go through what some of the kings of Israel did when God had brought a battle, and you read those praise offerings they offered to God, you get an idea of what praise is all about. See? He says, difficult because of what we think other people are going to say about us. What's the basis of that? "Oh, you don't know, Pastor, what they'll say about me." What's the basis of that?
Pride.
Yeah, right on. It's pride. And pride is as the sin of
witchcraft.
In fact, the Bible's quite clear. Pride is at the root of all evil. Even though it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, why do you love money? Huh? Yeah, because you want to flaunt it. Make yourself look better. It's self-pride. See? How could you overcome the obstacles that keep us from... How can we overcome the obstacles that keep us from praising God publicly?
Just do it.
Yeah.
Just do it, and then what else? Practice, practice, practice. Can I suggest something? Start telling others outside of the church, not on Sunday morning, what you think of God. It'll make it easier to tell God what you think of Him out loud in church. They were having a bunch of special meetings, and the evangelist had preached his heart out. Nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. And then they decided to go another 2 weeks. After they'd gone 2 weeks, they decided to go another 2 weeks. I mean, keep hitting the well and see if something won't happen. The first service of the second week, a 10-year-old girl sitting in the very back row started crying and sobbing. First of all, she was crying and sobbing under her breath and the tears running down her face. And then it just rolled out of her out loud. Just a terrible agonizing before God. Nobody could understand it, but the Holy Ghost swept through there, and all the evangelists did for the next 2 weeks and another week beyond it is direct traffic. People got saved, people got healed, people got filled with the Holy Ghost. All she did was start crying and crying out loud. We never know. We never know. Lady gave a message in tongues in Cartagena, Colombia, in the most beautiful English, British accented English. Beautiful. And she was illiterate. Could not read in Spanish a lick. Could not write in Spanish a lick. And she gave a message in tongues in perfect British English. And I'm sitting there, this is cool. I'm 10 years old. This is cool. I like this. And then, of course, being like I am, well, let's see if God can interpret this one. Because I knew both languages. A gentleman gives the interpretation. He's illiterate as well. Can't read, can't write. Perfect word for word translation. Did not miss a beat. A man sitting back there, a millionaire that had come in to go to church for the first time, runs to the altar and gets gloriously saved. The message was straight to him. I don't even know what the message was now. I just remember it just blew my mind out of the water. What if that woman, and that wasn't the way she talked in tongues either. What if she had said no to the Lord? There would have never been an interpretation, and that gentleman would have never got saved. Pretty important, isn't it, when a soul is at stake? We don't know what our praise is going to do if it's out loud in the house of God with those that are watching us. Why do we come to the house of God? What's the reason for coming to church?
Gather together.
Yeah, but that's not the main reason. What's the most important reason?
Worship.
To worship the Lord. It's us and God, one on one, right? Other people shouldn't matter. I can hear people. I've heard people say, well, you don't understand, Pastor. I got home and my wife said, boy, you really made a fool of yourself this morning. Well, what'd you say to her? I hope you said, amen. Glory to God. And I'll make a fool out of myself again. Because it's me and God. It's nobody else. Nobody else. Have you ever been around somebody that got a real touch of God? Let's say they got healed. My soul and body, don't they get happy, Joel? And nobody criticizes them, especially those that know what God has done for them. Right? So, we overcome these obstacles by just do it. We overcome these obstacles by practice, 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 right? We overcome these obstacles when we understand what we're doing is obeying the Word of God. So let's see what God's going to do. I do it with an air of expectancy. Isn't that what we do when we ask the Lord for healing? We do it with an air of expectancy. See? A list might help. See what I put in your notes? A list might help. Take time to praise God with a particular aspect of His character. Make a list of God's character. And actions, another list, that inspire you as you study Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Now, what Paul was dealing with here in this situation was paganism. It was a constant battle in the early church, paganism. We really don't understand here in the United States, and most of us don't understand here in the United States, growing up in this culture where we were founded as a Christian nation, right? So most of us don't understand what paganism is all about. Occasionally, we might meet. Anybody ever met an agnostic or an atheist? Well, there's no atheists. They're all agnostics. But anybody ever met an agnostic? But they're few and far in between, are they not, Peter? It's not everybody you meet. Yeah. And now again, today it's even popular to call yourself a Christian. Everybody does. Yeah. We laugh at an advertisement on TV, a country western singer. He's talking about God and he's talking about country, and you'd think he's saved, and then he pulls up and says, take a little whiskey home. Have anybody seen that ad? What is the whiskey called? I can't remember now. And I don't even remember who the country music star is that does it. But everybody, you know, some of the people on Fox News will talk about how they love God and how they're a Christian, but they got to go out for several beers and whatnot and a party just as soon as they get done their time on Fox News.
Because they're Catholic.
Yeah, everybody's a Christian now.
But they're Catholic.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is they call themselves a Christian. Everybody does. And they don't understand, so we don't understand paganism. Now, remember, Paul is dealing with Rome here. And Rome had a very interesting way to look at religion. When they conquered some nation, they would adopt their religion. So Rome had multiple thousands of gods. And they got more every battle they won. They'd get another god. See? And of course, everybody believed that there was a power behind the cosmos or behind the world. I mean, you even talk to the most agnostic person on planet Earth and ask them, well, what do you think of creation? And they don't have an explanation for it. The complexity of what exists, and that just happened? Well, I asked one, when I was in high school, if that just happened, why doesn't it keep happening? See? If these things are happening all the time, why don't they keep happening? Why aren't there still two amoebas joining themselves together on a seashore somewhere and a man walking up the shore? You know, why in the world don't we have that which we say is the way things really happen? We don't, because that's not the way really things really happened. See? So they believed back then. Do you know that globalism is not a new phenomenon? That's existed since the beginning of time. What did Rome want to do?
Conquer the world.
Yeah, control the world. Isn't that what globalism is? Yeah? What did Alexander the Great want to do?
Conquer the world.
What did Genghis Khan want to do?
Kill the world.
Conquer the world. Yeah. What does Putin want to do? Yeah. What does ISIS want to do? What do the Islamic community, the fanatics, have in what they say they want a caliphate? What's a caliphate?
They want to destroy Israel.
Yeah. No. What's a caliphate?
Well,
It's everybody believing in Islam. That's what a caliphate is. We want to conquer everybody so that they believe. So that was globalism. Modern day globalism is not a new concept. It originated in hell, in Satan's Institute for Strategic Studies. How do you like that? I put that in there. I think that's pretty good. Hell's Institute for Strategic Studies. A single deity behind all cults is the devil. Keep that in mind. There is a single deity behind all cults, and it's Satan. Okay? Now, concepts of that deity vary. Satan doesn't matter and doesn't give a flying rip what you call him, as long as you serve him. God is tied up in his name. Satan is not tied up in his name. It doesn't matter to him. Just serve him. That's all he cares. Okay? Now, we believe that there's one hierarchy of a divine being behind everything. The others can believe there's a multiple hierarchy of multiple divine beings. But even though they do, quiz them and you'll find out that at the bottom of it all, they have an idea that there's got to be somebody that makes the final decision. Right? Because that's our concept. That's what we believe. Somebody has got to make the final decision. Now, they'll call that person by different names. And the Romans had no problem with this. And this is what the church at Ephesus had a problem, didn't have a problem with. What did the church of Ephesus have? What did the city of Ephesus have that accentuates what I'm talking about right now? Anybody remember?
The temple of Artemis.
Yes. Go back to the second page of your notes. And she's right there on page 3. Her temple is there, what they think it looked like, and a picture of what they think she looks like. Right? So they didn't have any problem with that. Single deity, doesn't matter. Name what you want, we don't care. And then you came with the Stoics. The Stoics came on the scene and with their philosophy. And they decided there was an interpersonal and a very impersonal force, and they called it the Logos. Now, I know we today have attached the Logos to Jesus, but they attached the Logos to what they called highest reason. Highest reason. This was what permeated and was the basis of all philosophical teaching that existed in Ephesus at the time this book was written. Man has to know, man has to conform to the ethical principles of the reason in order to live well. It was Logos that caused that, not human choice. Now, of course, that's against what we believe, because we believe human choice is God's way of saying you have free moral choice and you can choose. And then some people believed in Tichy. And what Tichy was personal fate. You may have met somebody that believed in that. That personal fate is not blind. It's not irrational. It can be irrational. It can be malevolent. But it may be benevolent. We don't. It just depends. The Greeks had it as the goddess of choice, fate, and fortune. The Greeks were funny because a lot of the gods that they really wanted to worship, they made them women. And who's making the goddess a woman?
Man.
Isn't that interesting? And none of them were ugly except maybe Medusa. And Medusa actually wasn't ugly. It was just her hair that was ugly. See? Now these taught that man must know. Man must know. And man must conform. But then you had Tichy that came along, and that was fortune and fate. Well, you know, que sera, sera. Right? She would represent the positive aspects of these characteristics and also the negative aspects. the ancient Greeks. Now, they were interested. We get a lot of our philosophy from the ancient Greeks. Ancient Greeks. We get a lot of it from them. You've got to be very careful. A lot of the cults will grab some of the stuff of the ancient Greeks. And I put in here that she represented, the goddess Tiche represented the positive aspect of these characteristics, but also the negative ones. Now, they taught that she was the reason unexpected events happened in their lives. Now, what's that today? Well, we call it climate change. Right? We call it all kinds of different things. Fortune. You know, both good and evil. Someone has a lot of success in life without trying very hard. And we'll say that they were blessed from birth. Tiche blessed them from birth. Have you ever seen somebody where they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth? Right? That's just the same way of saying the same thing. Otherwise, that things go bad, what do we say? Yeah, they're just have all kinds of bad luck, poor people. The goddess is responsible for that. And this underlying philosophy is what gave us and what gets us the erroneous concept of predestination. And that's where we get it from. Because we have to believe that there must be some God or some supreme being that is pulling strings and orchestrating stuff. It can't be just that it's left up to us. Right? Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Debbie.
For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers.
He foreknew, and therefore he also predestined. This is the number one verse that these people use to so-called prove predestination. But in order to do that, you've got to look at the entire context of what Paul was saying. Right? I cannot just take one verse and pull it out of thin air and say, well, that's what must have been happening, right? So if I go to the eighth chapter and I read verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine. Okay? And if we go back to the 26th verse, we read, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not. Here we go. Know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth which is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And the entire eighth chapter of the book of Romans is all tied together with prepositions. See? So you verse 28 starts with and. Verse 29 starts with for. Verse 30 starts with moreover. In reference, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? Again, given reference to what came before. See how that's all tied together? So in order to understand it, I have to understand the entire concept of what he's saying. And then, of course, you get to the final verses of chapter 8, which we love. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, then you get verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. So, then God destined some to be killed? God said, well, you know, I'm going to have Jesus choose John, and then I'm going to have them try to boil him in oil. I'm going to have Jesus choose Peter, and then I'm going to have them crucify him upside down. I'm going to have Stephen being chosen, and then he's going to be stoned. No. God didn't do the stoning. Who did the stoning?
Man.
God did not do the crucifying. Who did the crucifying? Well, we say God allowed it, therefore it must be that God wanted it to happen that way. Not necessarily. God does not make robots out of human beings. Love never makes a robot out of anybody. Hello? God is love. Love never takes anybody for granted. God is love. Love never forces anybody to do anything. Right? You say, well, you don't understand, Pastor. You know, when my kids do something wrong, I discipline them because I love them. The discipline's negative, the love is positive. No, it's training. Sometimes training requires
tough love.
A little bit of tough love. Yeah. Yeah. Someone said, well, you don't understand. Like if you listen to Dr. Phil and he'll tell you you're not supposed to spank anybody. Of course, God says you are. Dr. Phil God. Dr. Phil God. Dr. Phil God. Yeah, really. I'm going to choose God every time, aren't you? Right? But how many of you as parents have decided that when your children got older you weren't going to spank them because it could be detrimental to your own health, and you decided that you were going to
reason
and take something away, right? It was great when Jonathan loved his, what was it called? That he played with in the car when we were driving. Game Boy. He loved his Game Boy. John had a Game Boy, sir? No, he had the little one about this big that he played in the car. Because I played with it too. Yeah. He had a... The Game Boy was part... Wasn't the Game Boy part of Nintendo? I don't remember. Yeah, just a brand, yeah. Well, he had, and you know, I hid his, he had a skidder, John Deere skidder. Everything worked. The tires were soft tires, and it had a winch on it, and the blade went up and down, and it was die-cast metal. Remember those that they had? You could buy them at a John Deere dealership. It was expensive, and it was beautiful. He brought it to me one day and he put it down because he didn't like what I was making him do. He says, I don't want that anymore. You can give it away. So I hid it. Hey, Dad, where's my skidder? Days later. Oh, you told me to give it away. I didn't tell him I gave it away. I said, you told me to give it away. Sat right down and cried. Never did that again. Didn't have to spank him or anything. He just never did it again. I told you about my sister. Sat down to breakfast, had oatmeal. She said, I'm not eating oatmeal. Can I be excused? Dad said, yes. We came for lunch and we all had soup. Oatmeal came out of the refrigerator. No, I'm not going to eat that. Pushed it away. Can I be excused? Yes, you may. Gone. Sat down to steak and salad and rice for supper. Out came the oatmeal. She was a teenager. She's all of a sudden getting the picture. And she says, can I heat it up? No, you can't heat it up. And she ate all of that oatmeal, every last bit of it, and never, ever did that again.
That's
but the punishment fit the crime.
Yeah, yeah. So discipline doesn't always have to be the rod. Sometimes the rod is necessary, but doesn't have to be. I used the rod once when she backhanded her brother right across the face, and he was sound asleep because he was breathing too loud. I stood on the brakes, and man, oh man, it was daddy, 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 daddy before the vehicle ever stopped. I don't know, I wasn't a prophet, neither was she, but she had a premonition of what was going to happen, and we had a come to Jesus meeting, and she never did that again. Sometimes that's what works. See? So predestination is simply the fact that God knows what's going to happen before it happens. That's called foreknowledge. And based on that foreknowledge, he acts a certain way with certain people. Okay? Do you think Hitler ever had a chance to not develop the idea that Jews were an inferior race and you needed to exterminate them?
Yes.
Of course he did. Of course he did. I would be willing to bet he had Jewish friends growing up. Right? Don't know. See, the foreknowledge knows, God knows who's going to accept his offer of salvation in advance of them actually doing it. The scripture teaches that we believers were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the earth. And we're going to stop right there. Questions? We'll pick this up later. Yes, Peter, what's the question?
I don't have a question.
Oh, you don't?
I asked you.
Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Xiao Yang, a question?
Something didn't come to mind.
Yes, bring it up. Spit it out.
Okay, well, we were waiters on Long Island, my friend and I, and of course there's a lot of Jews. Particularly Jews are really, really, really giving him a miserable time.
To your friend?
To my friend.
Yeah.
Standing there watching this, and you could see physically, he was literally shrinking. The life force was being drained out of him. And he walks by me and he says, Hitler was a waiter. Second funniest thing I ever heard in my life. You had to see what they were doing.
Yeah, yeah.
They were draining the blood out.
Yeah, yeah. Because some people in restaurants can be really obnoxious. You can feel sorry for the waitress. I have felt sorry for the waiters and waitresses from time to time. Because there was no pleasing some people. Have you ever been with people that there's no pleasing them?
Yes.
Doesn't matter what you do, even though it's what they ordered. But they still weren't pleased. And then you're with other people like my wife that never will say anything negative about them. Because she worked doing that. Yeah. She baptized people in coffee and what other stuff. But yeah, yeah. No, I'll say to Leah, just send it back.
No, then they'll spit in it.
No, no, you don't ask for that back again. You say, bring me something else.
No, it doesn't work.
You can pray over it.
No, it's not right to bring you something that they won't
spit. I don't think.
Send something back nicely, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
But if you're a jerk and if you're really nasty, I've never done anything, but I've seen everything.
Yeah.
But sending something back is not a big
deal. No. The biggest problem I had with Leah when we were traveling and itinerating with our children is she wanted to clean up the entire restaurant before we ever left.
No, it was just the mess that my kids made.
Yeah, but there's, you know.
I think you missed my joke.
I got your joke.
They were old Jewish.
Yeah, Hitler must have been a waiter. That's what turned him against the Jews. Yeah, that was good. That was good. That guy's pretty sharp.
Yes, he was.
He was pretty sharp. Other questions? No questions? We shall look to the Lord in prayer.